And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. This morning we will read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In the 50s into the beginning of the 60s, I think in 61, there was a show first on radio and then on television called This Is Your Life. Many here probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but some of the older, us of our older, we may not, some of us may not have saw the live recordings of it, but we saw it on reruns. And This Is Your Life was a audience participation show. The way the show would happen, Ralph Edwards started it. It was a show where they would have a studio audience, the host typically had this book in his hand. And it was, what they would do is on every episode, to the surprise of one of the audience members, the host would call the audience member up and say, "This is your life." They would take you, bring you up, and then through a series of history of recounting the history and maybe people who were in their life who would then come out and talk about things, they would review the life of the person. They even did that often with some people who were more famous. There was also a parody of that, This Is Your Life, done by another famous TV show called Your Show of Shows by Sid Caesar. And they call their clip called This Is Your Story. If you want, you can look on a Google and watch it. In that episode, Sid Caesar played the audience member. And he was a reluctant person. He didn't want to come up. That's what made it funny. How about you? What if I said to you, this is your life, brought you up, and celebrated your life? What if it was God? You mean there's only so much people who knew you can say about what you did or your actions. But what if God had that book, This Is Your Life? Not only the things you did, but maybe your attitude when you did it. Would you like everyone to read that on national television?
No.
This is your life. We just sang a hymn called We Sing the Glorious Conquest. What a Saul of Tarsus had. See, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what is our life. Because Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul the Apostle, through the glorious conquest, has a change in his life. See, each and every one of us are born in Adam. Our thoughts, our desires, our actions, especially before we came, were converted, were nothing but sin and transgression. But even as redeemed Christians, Even as those who are children of God, even those of us who are righteous in Christ, we still have some of the same tendencies. And some of the same earthly immorality in our lives. We didn't really well get there, but did you see verse 5 of Colossians 3? He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to those who he said that their lives are hidden in Christ, verse 3. Look what he says to them in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He's saying that to Christians. Even as a Christian, I would not, even as a minister of the gospel, I would not want every thought and deed, even as I live now, to be on full display before people. And we need to understand that. But what this passage does is it tells you that though this is how we live in the world, this is not your life. Your identity and your life has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And that's what Paul tells us here. And what we're going to look at here is not so much a book of this is your life and speak about what you have done prior to a Christian, what you've done after a Christian, but we're going to look at the book that God speaks about what he's done in Christ for you. And this is your life. Well, let's look. Paul says, again, we're in the midst of Colossians. We're actually in a section that would be more of what you call the application in this type of an epistle. But he begins our epistle with the statement, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Now, some who don't know much about their rhetoric and the grammar, what's going on here, we'll see the word if as if it's, oh no, maybe I'm not in Christ. That's not the intent Paul has here. More of the dynamic equivalent translations such as the NIV and some of these other, they have the word since. Since then you are in Christ. The translation that we find here in the ESV, the King James and American Standard, is correct. If. The word is if. I'm going to read from a commentator. He should say this. He says this. This is what we call you. The if has is the contains the protasis of a clause. And then the apodosis. If this, then this. And it's connecting the if then. The assumption is you are in Christ. He says, if you're in Christ, which you are, then here's how you, this is what's true. And here's what the commentator says. Paul assumes a protasis to be true. However, as we noted in our comments in chapter 2, verse 20, it is better for rhetorical reasons to translate it if. See, if here is for his rhetorical emphasis. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then there's no if for you. You have. So don't question yourself because of the statement if here. That's what I'm trying to get across. Now let's look at what Paul says here. He says this. If then you have been raised with Christ. Now, I asked you a question, and my question was, do you believe in Jesus? The answer is yes. Well, if you believe in Jesus, then something's happened. When Christ was raised from the dead. You were raised. He uses a word here, and we're going to see a lot of these words. We've mentioned this in previous messages because it's so important. He used the word that's translated resurrection or raised. It's a word that we have raised. And he uses that same word here. If you've been raised. But then he says, the word is a word with a prefix on the word. The Greek prefix is soon. So it's soon, egeiro. Egeiro is a word to be raised. Egeiro is to be raised up. So we would say egeiro, Christ was raised up. Actually, it's a wrong thing. That's a wrong person. And what he's saying here is that you were raised with him when he was raised. That's so important. It's not like he was raised and something happened to you. You actually were raised from the dead when he was raised from the dead. And then it says, but here is the race here, risen from the dead. Well, yes, maybe, or how about this, raised up to heaven? Because look what he says here too. If you've been raised from the dead with Christ, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. We're going to look at some other passages here, a number of these passages that have this idea of being raised with, of being buried with, being ascended with. There are a lot of them are parallel passages. The first and the fullest is we have from Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. This is the fullest expression of what I think Paul is getting at here in Colossians. Now think about it, Colossians and Ephesians, you know they're very similar. A lot of believe people same concepts. It's a lot of commonality. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. He says this, or verse 4. But God, being rich in his mercy. Now, again, the but there. Let's look at what it said at the end of verse 3. He says that, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. He's saying that you were a child of wrath. Speaking to the Ephesians, it applies to us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions is parallel to be a child of wrath. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. And again, that's another one with the word soon attached to the word. He made us alive together with Christ. When did he make us alive together with Christ? Well, in one sense, when Christ was raised from the dead, you were raised. Now, we had a personal regeneration of ourselves happen in life, but it's all dependent on what God did in Christ. And that's why he says we were raised with Christ. And seated us in him. Another word for the verb to be seated with the soon in front. He seated us with Christ. When Christ was seated in the heavenly places, you were seated in the heavenly places. And you see what he's saying? See how that fits with Colossians? Seek the things that are above? Because this is your life. This is your life. He raised us by his. He made us alive together. He raised us with him. And with him again, same, just one verb. With him, he seated us. We were seated with him in the heavenly places. Think about, and a good way of saying is that we were, verse 6, or verse 5, we were co-made alive, verse 6. We were co-raised, and we were co-seated. So that in the ages, in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. Well, who's the one that raised you? Who's the one that ascended you? And who's the one that seated you? Not yourself, but God. And it was all done in the work of Christ. For we, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. Notice, for good works. What God has done with us, for us in Christ, he's done that so that we would do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, walk in them. We have the same kind of idea in Romans. If you want, you can turn to Romans chapter 6. In verse 8, we have those two of those concepts. We co-died. I'm using the word co. We co-died and we co-live. That's what he said. We co-died and we co-live. It's how it says in ESV. Now, if you, again, this if, again, is that idea of if then, not questioning, but, and so you can say since then, and since we died with Christ, since we co-died with him, we will co-live with him. By the way, how do we co-die with him? Now look at verse 4 of chapter 6. We were buried, therefore, with him. Again, one word, buried with. When he was buried, we were buried. Now, since here by baptism, when we were baptized, we weren't buried. Baptism, again, is a sign and seal. And we don't believe in baptismal that when you were baptized, you really died. When you baptized, did you ever think, oh, all of a sudden I lost consciousness when I was baptized? No. But it's a sign and seal. Why? Well, because what was Jesus' death? Did you know what Jesus called his death? He called his death baptism. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with. By the way, he was already ordered in 8 days. And he was already baptized by John the Baptist. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. How great is my distress until it is accomplished. His baptism was his death. You see that. If you're not sure if that's what it means, well, it's clear when the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they wanted to share in Christ's glory. He told them they would share in his suffering. We read that in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came and up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Sounds like Wayne, actually. I'm like the sons of Zebedee. I want God to do whatever. And look at this answer in verse 36. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" See, a baptism is a sign of judgment. And when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we are baptized into Christ, we share in that baptism. And our baptism is a sign that we shared in his death. That's the illusion when it says we were buried with him in baptism and raised. Because it's a sign of our sharing in his baptism. By the way, he goes on to say to them, "You will share." And we share in suffering in one sense. But understanding that we were co-baptized with him. Listen to what Peter says. Again, think Peter talks about the connection between baptism and death. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the judgment that happened on the world and Noah and people being saved through that judgment. They were saved through the judgment of the flood. And then he says this, referring to the flood, he says, "Because they formerly did not obey, when God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water." They were brought through the baptismal waters. And then says this, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you." Now that word corresponds, baptism, which is like a type, a sign of this. That's what that word means, corresponds to it. "Now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ." By the way, do you have a good conscience right now? I asked you if you wanted This Is Your Life to come up here. Do you have a good conscience in yourself? No, but your life is in Christ through the resurrection. This is what Paul is getting at in Colossians. And let's go back to our passage. Colossians chapter 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above." And so what's coming is, since Christ died and you died with him, since he was raised from the dead for our justification, other pages, you were raised with him. And then he is seated right now. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. And we wait for him to come. And when he comes, we're going to share it with his glory. But right now, you hear enough of this pulpit, but you share right now in the sufferings. But as we share in sufferings, I want you to think of the words, "This is your life." See, the life that you live now in this world, in sharing the sufferings, you live in the light. The fact that you died, were resurrected, ascended, and are seated with Christ right now, and you live your life in that. That's what Colossians, that's the application of the Christian life. Let's read this. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above." See, how often do we set our minds every day on the things above? No, we get distracted on the things below. We get distracted by what's happening. If you set your mind on things above, you're going to act differently among all the problems in this world. "Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth." Doesn't mean don't care about what you wear or what you eat or where you live or be a good citizen or work. He's talking about the contrast between the earthly way of doing things and the heavenly way of doing things. James says the same thing. In James chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 18, we read the following. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and wisdom, and of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but earthly, unspiritual, demonic. You see, this is your life when we're in Adam. We do the things that are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. But when God changed your citizenship, changed your position, changed your identity, now you are to seek to live in light of the heavenly things, not the earthly. You deal with earthly struggles, but you don't use the earthly. You don't use impassioned, evil desires, covetousness. No, what do? You're loving, you're forgiving. Again, read back in James says, verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes from kind of down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile patience. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm going to read that last. It's when it talked about what does this. But wisdom that above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Does that describe you? In the way you act, hopefully to a degree, but not. But does that describe what you see on Facebook or in the newspapers or on TV? No, be transformed by the renewing of your mind is what Paul is saying here. Because of who you are. Understand, this is your life. Your life is hid in Christ. He says that in our passage. He says, for you have died with, for verse 3 of chapter 3 of Colossians, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is really hidden in Christ. It's not here yet. That life of glory, the life that James and John wanted, is hidden in Christ, and you're not going to have that till he comes. That's why you need patience, long suffering. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We don't live the glorious life now. See, a lot of people think Christianity is about doing and being better than everybody else. You see, we're the glory people. We're the good people. And they're the wretched sinners. No, he goes on to say that we should fight that which still remains in us, and we'll be doing that until he returns. Now, I'm going to really close with, hopefully you understand what this passage is saying with all the other passages, what's true about you. But now let's look at the imperatives that God gives to the people who he says they're already taken care of. And understand that these imperatives are not about you attaining what you have, but living in light of what you have. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. He's speaking to those who have died with Christ,
who have been resurrected with Christ, who have been ascended with Christ, are seated with Christ, and will share Christ's glory when he returns. He's saying that to you, and that's who you are. But he's saying to you, put to death what's earthly in you, because there is earthly in you. By the way, I need to say, there's earthly in me. Let's read what he says. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual morality. The homosexuals are not the only immoral people. Every single Christian is sexually immoral. Just ask Jimmy Carter. Famous quote from Jimmy many years ago. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you too once walked and were living in them. Notice, the end of verse 6, or verse 6, is not contradicting what he said in verse 5. When he says you were living in them, he was saying that that's all you had, because you were in them. Now you're not in them, though you do them. There's a difference, right? Notice the difference. They bug you now, because you know it's against Christ. In these you two once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Notice, you're putting them away. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in and all. And then, of course, verse 12 and following, put on the good things, put on Christ, put on what you are. Live in light of what life you now have. Brothers and sisters, this is your life. Your life is in Christ. We don't always act like it, but that's true. It's not because of anything we've done. It's because of things that were done by God because of Christ. He died the death that you should have died. By the way, the death he died was not just a physical death. On the cross, he experienced God's eternal wrath. Everybody who died as a non-Christian, they haven't experienced God's eternal wrath yet. Death, physical death, is not the wrath of God. Christ's death on the cross was the wrath of God. And if we died with Christ on the cross, then there's a sense in which we experienced, not personally, but representatively in Christ, we have experienced his wrath. When God displayed his name to Moses, hopefully if you can memorize scripture, hopefully you have this memorized. I pretty much have it memorized. The Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving sin and iniquity. We like that. And we have, our sin and iniquity have been forgiven. But then he says, but by no means will clear the guilty. You have to be punished in order for your sin to be. How can God punish you with the pains of hell? Because by no means he's going to fear you, and yet be merciful to you. How can he do both? You were buried with him. You were baptized with him when he was baptized. You experienced a baptism of Christ. Or in other places it's called the circumcision of Christ. When Christ was baptized, he was circumcised. He was cut off from the land of the living. He experienced the wrath of God. And that's true of you and I.
Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, what Paul says about this is true of you. And he also calls you to live like it. Don't be distracted by your own thoughts, by the world, by the troubles we have, but live in light of where you are with Christ in the heavens. Live heavenly life here. That's impossible for us to do in ourselves, in our strength. And so what do? You see, we sang the hymn, we sing of the glorious conquest about Saul of Damascus Road. And how that happened. He was changed. That happened to every person who believes in Jesus Christ. There was a glorious conquest. And Paul, who knows these things, Paul, who called himself, I am the chief. He didn't say I was the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. So you and I set our minds on things above. Live in light of that. And by the way, when I don't do that, here's what I want you to tell me. Pastor, live from your life above. And Lord willing, I'll do that to you as well. That's how we encourage one another. That's the reality. And Jesus Christ is your life. The life I now live, this is your life, is what? As I died in him. Let's go do now prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the blessings, these things that are far beyond what we can even think or imagine. Father, we are so glorious that even in Timothy, he tells us that we will reign with him. Help us to understand these glorious truths. And Father, it's not just our understanding, for any understanding or even any obedience is your work in us. And so Father, now we pray for every single person in this room, for every person who's called by Christ, that we would be encouraged to live like we should, to ask for repentance, to ask for forgiveness of you when we don't. Knowing that everything is free to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are no longer condemned. Help us, Father, to strive to live as Christ would have us live in this world. And Father, we can't close this worship without saying with the church, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.